Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Today, though, we're going to unveil the brand new values of Cool Church. God has given us a specific mission, which you know, which is to build strong families and build strong futures. But he's also given us our own core, unique set of values, which is really the lens in which everything that happens in Cool Church is seen through. Yeah. You can't truly identify purpose unless you know your values. And today we're gonna hit on value number one, and I'm so excited. So get your notebooks, get your Bibles. I don't know how you can follow along in a message without a Bible right now. Get ready, take notes. They might not help you right in this moment, but they're always gonna point you back to a place in God's word that could help you. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is our main text that we keep coming back to every week. Philippians 4 verses 8 and 9. And you can also put your finger on 1 Corinthians 16:14. But we're going to go back right now to Philippians 4, 8 and 9 to get us started. And baby girl, why don't you read it?
So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And then we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 16:14. And it reads like this: do everything in love.
You should read that one again. I like that one.
Do everything in love. That's an easy one to remember, y'all.
Hey, and if you're taking notes on today's message and for the culture, title is simple. We're talking about love. Love. Yes. That's the first Cool Church value. Why don't you pray, babe?
Father God, I thank you for this day, Lord. This day that you have designed just for us, God. I thank you for all of the things that you've given us to live out our purpose, God. I pray that today, Lord, this message will glorify you and illuminate truth for all of our brothers and sisters that are watching today. I pray for their homes, their families, their health. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.
Amen. Well, here we go, part two for the culture, and we're talking about love. And I love that verse that we started with in Philippians, at Philippians 4, 8, and 9, just to give a little backstory. Paul was the founder of the Philippian church, and he's writing this letter, babe, from jail.
Wow.
Can you believe it? It's crazy, because Paul was such a man of faith. He never allowed his circumstance to dictate what he believed, and he never allowed his circumstance to dictate his emotions. He had values that dictated his emotions. He had values that dictated his feelings. And he was really trying to encourage the Philippian church, because they were upset that he was in jail, and they're like, man, it shouldn't be like this. And Paul says, hey, don't worry about it. He says, whatever is excellent, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he says, whatever you've heard in me and whatever you've seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What was Paul trying to say? If you clearly think about the right things, if you have the right values that you constantly implement, and not only just have the values and think about them, if you put them into practice, then it does not matter the situation you find yourself in, you're going to find peace.
Wow.
I mean, if that's not a word for the day, I don't know what is. I mean, people, a quarter of the American workforce is jobless. COVID-19's numbers are higher than they've ever been before. And we've got a 400-year-old problem of racism that has reared its ugly head in our faces. And we are confronting it with every protest, every march, every post that we're putting up. These are strange times that we live in. Yeah. In 2020. And if you don't have the proper values, you're gonna have anxiety, you're gonna have fear, you're gonna deal with stress.
Yeah.
But Paul, I love this, he writes this from a place of prison, the most stressful place in the planet. But Paul is encouraging people from prison. How crazy is that?
Wow.
It's hard for me to encourage people in the situations we live in now, and I'm free, but could you imagine trying to encourage somebody from prison? That's a person with strong values.
Absolutely.
And I love Paul because he was trying to get him to understand, like, if you think about such things and you implement such things, you're going to live a life of peace. What are your core values, church? You're really trying hard to get you to develop your own values for your family, because when the world is crazy, your values will ground you and give you peace. Your values will dictate the way, not the way you react to things, but the way you respond to things. And that's really how we got the ball rolling last week, because what you constantly think about will manifest not only in your words, but in your actions. I like to say it like this, like an old mentor of mine, he says, when you know what matters most to you, you will attract what's most important to you. We said that last week, and I want to say it again as a reminder. And we've been talking about these core values, and if you don't define your core values, I believe it will be very hard for you to identify your purpose. And today, I want to talk about the church values. Some of you have been coming to Cool Church for a long time, or maybe this is an introductory course on what Cool Church is about. You joined on the right week, because you're meeting us at value number one. These are brand new values that we are disclosing to you. There's seven of them, and I promise you, not only will they be a blessing to our church, but I promise you, if you implement these in your life, they'll be a blessing to you.
That's right.
And our first value is simple. It's love. Love. You can't have a church that's called Cool Church, that stands for created out of love, if love's not your number one value. And I love what 1 Corinthians 16:14 says. It says, do everything in love. I'm going to say it again for the person in the back. If you're going to do something, the Bible says, do everything in love. Why do you do everything in love? Because it's not worth doing if it's not done in love.
That's right.
I mean, everything that has been the best in my life has always been done from a place of love. The best meals I ever ate, they were not at a restaurant. They were made by someone that loved me.
Like and, me?
Baby girl, you made them. Hey, that's one of the reasons I married you, girl, because you can cook. But I know you're not just cooking the meal and preparing the spices. You put love in that food.
That's right.
And that makes it taste better. The best gifts I ever got, they didn't even cost a lot of money. They were given out of love. Vava is probably responsible for some of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten. The funniest one I would say is I like to collect little toys, right? So one birthday, I remember you took her to Walmart, and she comes back with a toy to give me for my birthday, and it's the exact same toy that I already own. And her logic was, he already has one of these, so if I get him another one, he's gonna love it. She gave me that gift in love, and yeah, I got two of the same thing, but I love the second one more than the first one,
because
my baby gave it to me. And then I think about some of the best services that I've ever had, no matter what it is, at a restaurant, or even when my favorite plumber comes in. Now, I don't like calling plumbers, but if I gotta call one, I call Donovan Henry.
Oh yeah.
That's a great man and dad in our church, and I love him. Because the thing about Donovan that is awesome, he loves what he does.
Yes.
He'll be pulling stuff out the drain, this stinks, and this turd be like, oh T, come and see mine, come check this out. And I'm like, Donovan, this is gross, I'm gonna throw up. He's like, oh, I live for this, I love it. He loves what he does. People always do things better when they do them out of love, right, Joe?
Oh man, that's so true. Because I think when they do things out of love, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can see it. You experience it. But what's so great is that it's understood.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. I love it because there's actually a verse that talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is so powerful. Follow me, you guys. John 13:35 reads, By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Love that.
Think about that. What does that say? That says that the way that people will know that you are associated with me is through love.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell me? That tells me, first of all, it says, you know, it says all people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
All people will know. So that means that love just transcends any kind of gender, any race, any
mm-hmm.
age,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not you're a believer or not.
Right.
Everybody understands love,
mm-hmm.
or at least recognizes love. Let me not say understand. They recognize and they can see love. And so the Bible's telling us that, man, anybody can see. If you demonstrate love, anybody will be able to see it. But what's mm-hmm. even more critical, or the part that really spoke to me in this verse, is the part that love distinguishes you.
Love that.
Love distinguishes you. See, that meal is better because it's distinguished.
Mm.
It has been distinguished. The gift is better because it's distinguished. The service is better because it's distinguished. And what is distinguished? That means it is set apart.
Come on, I love that.
It is set apart. So love inserts. So let's go back to that verse. Love sets you apart.
Wow.
Isn't that so beautiful to even think about? And like, let's think about how that is brought into our faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's love, that his sacrificial love, actually, that separates us, that distinguishes him from anybody else.
That's right.
Any other faith, any other belief anybody has out there, the one thing that makes God the one true God is his sacrificial love. See, wow. Love distinguishes things.
I love that, because it doesn't matter what it is. You're gonna sacrifice,
yes,
and do it to the best of your ability when you do it in love.
Mm.
The best things in life are done in love. And cool church value number one, I'm gonna say it so you hear it, it's love. We are created out of love, by love, and for love. We love God and we love others. I'm gonna say it again, because I want you to really take that to heart. I want you to write it down.
Yes.
Love. We know we are created out of love, by love, and for love. We love God and we love others. You've probably heard us say that once or twice if you've ever been to Cool Church. Created out of love, by love, and for love. Love God and love others. And the first place that I want to start today, as we really dig in to what this value is that we're created out of love. That's what Cool Church stands for. Created out of love. Here's the biblical context for it. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's powerful.
So powerful, but it's powerful, but let's also read the Message version.
Okay.
Because, man, it paints an even bigger picture of what this is talking about. It says, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to be ready.
Wow.
He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. While we were yet sinners,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway.
That's right.
We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for.
Mm-hmm.
And we can understand how someone good and noble can inspire us to be selfless in our sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him.
Wow.
My God.
That's great.
Doesn't that paint such a picture, man? See, there's so much that we can draw from that and that we will.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to talk about is the fact that demonstrates. Like when we go to the verse you read, God demonstrates mm-hmm. his own love for us. What I love that is that it's written, not in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Demonstrate mm-hmm. is that it means it's still present today.
That's right.
It's still valid today.
That's good.
That sacrifice continues to bless us, continues to grace us every single day.
Mm-hmm.
He demonstrates that there is no limit to that sacrifice, that level of love.
Mm.
And that's the kind of love that God demonstrates for us. In other words, God's love for us is not limited to the past,
mm-hmm.
right? It's relevant today. It's relevant every single day. But I love the picture of the sacrifice. I mean, I don't love the picture, but
yeah.
the idea of the sacrifice, where it's not the nails that really kept Jesus on the cross,
that's
was
right.
it?
That's right.
It's love that kept him there,
mm-hmm.
because he knew that while it was painful, it was a sacrifice. It's something that took everything out of him, but yet he loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. That's love. That's sacrificial love.
Wow.
See, God's supernatural love is demonstrated irrespective of our merit, or you know, whether or not we deserve it, or whether or not we're noble, or whether we're good people or mm-hmm, not, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what natural love is all about.
Yeah.
But supernatural love is when God, how God loves us, he loved us no matter, or loves in the presence,
right?
He loves us even when we're unlovable.
That's great.
How amazing is it that God embraces us with love like that every day, even when we're unlovable, mm-hmm. he still embraces us.
Wow.
That's what love, that's God's love. That is the love that we're talking about here.
I love this because what you're speaking to is a relationship that was worth dying for.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even deserve it, but God looks at us and says, that's a relationship that's worth dying for. I'm gonna create them because I want to give them my fullest expression of love. The best way I can say it is God desires relationships so much, he wanted to create something he could give the full expression of his love through. And we always see that the fullest expression of God's love is through sacrifice. Now here's the other part. Why would God want to fully express his love to you? Because here's the thing. He does not just fully express his love to you through death on a cross by his son. He also fully expresses his love to you in creating you, because you are the full expression of God's love. I need somebody to really capture what I'm trying to say. Like, you didn't just get here by happenstance. When God made you, when he knit you together in your mother's womb, he took his time on you and he intricately designed you to let you know, as an individual, as a son or a daughter, his creation of you is the full expression of his love. Like, do you know how much God put into you?
Wow.
Like, I don't think we take enough time to really think about, like, people say, oh, God don't love me. That's not true.
Hmm.
Do you know all the stuff that God put into you? Oh my, it's unbelievable. You have 206 bones in your body. You have over 650 muscles in your body. Your body contains up to 100,000 miles of blood vessels, 7 trillion nerves. You have two eyes that are the most complex organisms on the planet. You have a brain that literally knows how to reorganize itself and to form brand new neural pathways, and that will happen for the rest of your life through a process called neuroplasticity. But then you have a heart, the center of it all, that controls it, that pumps 1.5 gallons of blood through your body, 10% of its weight. It pumps that blood in order for you to live. God put all that inside of all of us and still anointed us individually and uniquely.
Beautiful.
Listen to what I'm trying to tell you today. When God made you, listen to me, person that does not value themselves. You may not even value yourself, but God thought you were so valuable that he put everything he had. He put the best in you. When God made you, he broke the mold.
Yeah.
I love what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Listen to what I'm telling you. Masterpiece. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for you long time ago. You ain't even got plans for yourself, but God already had plans for you. And he made you a masterpiece. A masterpiece is the pinnacle of an artisan's work. God looked at you, stepped back and said, wow, I gave it my best. And then he went and did it to somebody else and said, wow, I gave it my best. Here's the best thing. It's not the one that's created after that's the best in God's eyes. We're all the best.
Yeah.
That's why he put so much in us. God not only showed us the full expression of his love on the cross, he put the full expression of his love inside of all of us.
Beautiful.
When he made us, because we are created out of love.
And you can't create anything without love.
Come on.
This is what he's showing us, mm-hmm. is in creation, he is demonstrating his love.
That's right.
Towards us. It's love in the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
My God, how powerful. But see, why is that such a powerful or such a critical value for us here at Cool Church?
Mm.
Because we are created out of love. Like, that is the source by which we create everything. And mm-hmm. so you can't create anything without love. So,
that's right.
But how can we say that? I think one of the best ways for us to really truly wrap our heads around that is maybe even just looking at the opposite of love. What's the opposite of love? Hate.
Yeah, that's right.
Hate. And what does hate do? Destroy.
That's right.
Hate doesn't create. Hate right. destroys. Mm-hmm. Hate is a destructive force.
Mm-hmm.
War is powered by hate.
That's right.
All hate does is turn things into rubble. Mm-hmm. It destroys things. It leaves them with nothing.
That's right.
Leaves you empty. But love is the only thing that creates.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so as we're in this community, and as we're building things, as we're making things, as we're creating, we can't do that if it's not coming from love itself. And I love the thought that even we have Christ, we have God in us.
Mm-hmm.
We have love in us, right?
That's
God
right.
God is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's from that place that we create. The Creator Himself
mm-hmm.
gives us the power, gives us the inspiration, gives us the direction to create whatever we need to do the work that He's called us to do as a community.
I love what you said, because you said that the Creator is inside of us and we operate out of a space of love. The Creator in us is love.
Yeah.
And how do I know that? Because we're not just created out of love. We're created by love.
Yes.
Listen to what the Bible says. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. We do not exist because of what love is. We exist because of who love is.
Come on.
God is love. And some of us have love all wrong, man. Like, we think that love is butterflies when it's God.
Yeah.
We think that love is feelings when it's God. See, you're confusing what love is with a feeling, when we know that God is love. See,
yeah.
God, love is the source of God's character. I love that, because everything that He is, everything that God embodies, is love. The only way for you to understand who God is, you have to understand what love is. And it's
yeah.
not butterflies and feelings. The Bible is very clear about what love is.
Yeah.
I love what 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says. You've heard it at every wedding you've ever been to. But I'm going to read it, because I want to remind some people what love is, that think that it's just these feelings that we have. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails."
Amen.
You can't know God if you don't know love. It's impossible for you to know who God is if you don't know love. And now that I just told you what love is, let me tell you who God is. Oh, get ready for it.
Come on.
Because God is patient.
Yes.
God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres. God never fails.
Yeah.
Listen to me. If you didn't realize what God was, the apostle, when he was writing that, wasn't just trying to tell you what love was. He was trying to tell you who God is. If you don't take a moment to connect God's character with who He is, you can never really say that you know Him.
Wow.
God is love.
That's beautiful. But I also love seeing that Corinthians verse in that context. But then I like to read it yet another way.
Come on.
You see, we need love to be patient.
Come on, that's right.
In other words, we need God to be patient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Patient with each other, patient with our children, patient with everybody.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We need love to be kind.
You telling me?
God helps us to extend kindness to one another, to help one another. Love helps us to not envy others, to not covet. You see, envy feeds comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get into the comparison trap, then you start to be dissatisfied with everything in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to not see your own blessings, and in your life, you feel like you're never happy, and you can't truly be happy for other people, can you?
Mm-hmm.
See, love helps us celebrate others. What else? Love helps us to be humble, to walk in grace and glorifying God.
Mm-hmm.
Love helps us not to put people down or talk behind their backs. Love helps us not to be selfish or hot-tempered.
That's right.
Love keeps us from always feeling the need to clap back all the time and tell people off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We need love to help us not be petty.
That's right.
And to bring back old stuff or hold things against each other because of the old stuff that we did. See, love is truth, isn't it?
That's right.
When we're not in the right frame of mind, maybe we're living in sin and we've forgotten God.
That's right.
It's love that will show us back to the right way, the direction that we need to be in. Love is what directs us.
Mm-hmm.
Love points us in the right direction.
That's right.
Love keeps us from believing lies, and sometimes those lies are our own lies, aren't they?
That's right.
Man, love gives us strength not to hurt others. Love, it helps us push, helps us to keep going, never to give up, because with love, we're always gonna win.
And I love that. We need love now more than ever, especially in the times that we're living in. And we must recognize that God is love. Because I recognize that God is love, it dictates the way that I deal with people in situations in the current time that we're living in.
Yeah.
When I know that God is love, I'll condemn racism, but I'll confront the racist with love.
That's right.
When I know that God is love, I'll condemn police brutality, but I'll confront the police with love. When I know that God is love, I'll condemn corrupt politics, but I will confront the politician with love. Why? Because hate has never helped anyone see God.
Nope.
If I come, I can condemn all these institutions, but if I come at the perpetrators of these institutions with hate, they will never see God.
Man.
We must come at them with love because God is
beautiful.
Love. But the last thing that I really want to land on before we kind of close this out here, it's not that God is just that we are created out of love and we're created by love. We're created for love. We're created for love. Listen to this. Mark 12, 30 through 31. Jesus was asked by some folks, hey, what's the greatest commandment? You know, they were trying to trip him up as always, but mm-hmm. Jesus was smart. And verses 30 to 31 of Mark 12 said, this is how Jesus responds. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. God's command is clear. Love God.
Yeah.
Love others.
Yeah.
The world would be so much different today if we could all just love God and love others.
Wow.
It's not rocket science. God's not trying to confuse you. He's saying, hey, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. But what's the point of loving me if you can't love the people right around you? And as a matter of fact, don't just love the people around. Love your neighbor, anybody around you.
That's
love
right.
them like you love yourself.
Yeah.
Like the mission of Cool Church from day one is always to populate heaven, right? And build a family of heaven. How does that look practically here on earth? It's the mission that we constantly state. We build strong families to build strong futures. I want to get more family members, not just when I get to heaven. I want to get them here on earth. How am I going to do that? I cannot grow the family if I don't love people.
Amen.
I can't just love God. Loving God is not enough. Some of you want to love God and then live in a cave. No, you got to love God, and you got to take that expression and you have to lend it to everyone else. You must love others in order to build the family. People should feel welcome around you. They should feel okay around you because they feel the love. Doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter what they're into. Doesn't matter what they believe. You love them. Love is the greatest attraction to the family of God. And here's the truth, like, Love is not seen in speech. It's seen in action.
That's right.
I can say I love you till end of time, but if I never show it, my words are useless.
That's beautiful. The other thing about that is that the Bible tells us clearly that if we say that we love God, but then we hate our brother, then we're a liar.
That's it.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? God, we already said it. God put his best in us.
Yep.
He created us out of love. He created us with love, which means he loves us unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens is when you love somebody, you love everything that they love.
That's right. That's right.
And so I feel like that's what that's all about. And he says, if we don't love our neighbor, if we don't love our brothers, that's all of us, brothers and sisters, then we can't say that we love God.
Mm-hmm.
My God. And so, man, love is an action.
You gotta
show it. Mm-hmm. You know, when I, like, for in our relationship, I knew that you really loved me when you were willing to let me go.
Mm.
And that was something that was so powerful for me to see and experience, because for your goal or your mission was just to make me happy.
Yeah.
And when you got your calling to the ministry, you didn't know if I was gonna follow, if I was gonna be a part of that. And so you told me about that calling that you got, and you released me and said, man, I get it. You know, this is tough. This is a lot. This is my calling. But if that's not what you want to follow, I'm not going to hold you back. I'm not going to be the one that holds you back.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, I was not going to allow you to try and drop that to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I was like, well, come on, let's go. Let's go.
Thank God.
But I knew at that time, I knew how much you loved me, because for you, it was about what is going to, it was about my happiness.
Yeah.
And you weren't going to drag me anywhere that I didn't want to go. And you'd rather me be happy with somebody else than to be miserable with you.
Sacrifice.
Man, that's sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's sacrifice. You know, I recently read this story of a man named Robert Hogg, and he lives in Australia, and he was born with a huge defect. He had a tumor right over his nose, right in the middle of his face, and the way that he tells the story is that, you know, his mother had this baby, and she had four other children, and the children were perfectly healthy, and then here comes the fifth one with this challenge, this deformity on his face. And he says, he looked at her, this was in her, because she recorded all of this in her diary.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at him, and she said, he's so ugly.
Mm.
He was so ugly that she refused to take him home.
Wow.
She couldn't even look at him. She was so, she couldn't even look at him. You know what, like her husband was the one that described to her exactly what the child looked like. He described that, yeah, he had a tumor on his face and his legs were mangled and he was just completely disabled.
Mm.
And she was like, I don't even want to see it, and I won't take him home.
Mm.
Wow. But what's powerful about that story is that over time she came around.
Mm.
She had a change of heart, and she would come and visit the baby. And she would, you know, she saw him, but every time she saw him, she said, man, that baby is just so ugly. I can't take him home. I can't take him home.
Wow.
And one day, you know, she went home and she asked the whole family, how many of y'all think that I should bring Robert home?
Mm-hmm.
And all of them unanimously raised their hand, and they all agreed he should be home. So that was the first day that he was allowed into the family, that he was accepted into the family. Isn't that something?
Wow.
And so what the crazy part is, the whole thing is crazy, but imagine that over time, so as his mom is trying to deal with the fact that, yeah, this is her baby and she's gonna love the baby and everything, she wrote in her diary just all kinds of personal feelings and real raw emotional things in that diary. She wrote things like, I wish that he would disappear and die.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle of this story is that he read all of those deep personal moments that his mother wrote.
Wow.
And you would think that that would damage a person for the rest of their lives, and their self-esteem would be completely shattered, right?
Mm.
But the way that he sees it is that, wow, she went through all of these emotions but yet she found it somewhere in her heart to love me.
Wow.
It took time.
Wow.
But she found it somewhere in her heart. Despite that shock, despite that those initial feelings of fear and disappointment, she still found a place in her heart to love me. That's what he said. And for him, that was the most powerful type of love that he could ever experience.
You know what that story reminds me of? And this is the truth for the person that thinks that love is perfect and love is butterflies and love is a feeling. Love is ugly. Mm. Love doesn't look the way that we think it should look.
Yeah, while we were yet sinners.
Jesus Christ, in the greatest act of love, his act of love wasn't beautiful.
No.
It was barbaric.
Yeah.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
It's something that most of us would turn our heads away from. We don't want to look at the cross, but until you can look at the cross, you can't really see what love is. Mm. Love may not look good to you. Love may not always feel good, but it's the best thing for you. You see, I know there's folks out there, your relationship with love is very skewed. You don't see God as love because you don't have a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
Maybe you blame him for all the things that have happened in your life that seem subpar. But you know it's love when it ain't easy and you do it anyway. Jesus said, this is not easy because while they're yet sinners, I'm going to go through the most brutal, most horrendous, most hurtful thing that I can go to just to show them that I love them.
Yeah.
I want somebody to hear me today. Your perfect ideals of love will be shattered when you just look at the cross of Jesus. That's what real love is. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what real love is. That everything you do must be done out of love, because love not only got him to the cross, love kept him on the cross.
Yeah.
And it was ugly and it was hurtful, but he did it for you because you were created out of love. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but maybe you feel, man, you don't know love, you don't understand love, and you're far from Jesus and you never got it. I pray that today myself and my wife were able to really illustrate what love means. It's what it means for this house. But love is bigger than just the value of this house. God is love, and he loves you no matter what you've done, no matter how bad of a person you may think you are. God loves you. And everything he did when he created you up to the moment his son died for you, and even right now, everything that is happening in your life, God's doing it out of love. Will you respond to his love today? Say, how do I do that? Just accept what his son Jesus already did for you. Accept the ugliness of the cross. Don't continue to push the ugliness of the cross away. Accept it, because that's real love. If you want Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, if you're tired living the life that you're living, if you want that peace that passes all understanding, if you want to experience real love, the only way I can offer you love is through God, because God is love. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart he is raised from the dead, you're saved. That's it. So I'm going to say a simple prayer. All you got to do is confess, open your mouth, and believe. On the count of three, if that's you, if you want to do that, just raise your hand wherever you are. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Raise it up. I won't see it. God will see it. But bigger than your hand, God sees your heart. He sees your heart. And love wants to live with you today. Love has a name, and his name is Jesus. If you want Jesus in your heart, just repeat after me. It's a simple prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I've sinned. Not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness, take the place of my sin. I ask that you'd accept me into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You said that simple prayer, you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You say it and you believe it. You believe it in your heart. And Jesus will help you live it out day by day, one day at a time. Man, we're so proud of you for making that decision. And if you made that decision, there's some prompts on your screen in the chat. There's a little hand that you can press if you're on thecoolchurch.com, or we have some folks online. There are online organizers. You can say, hey, I made a decision. They'll connect with you right there. But there's also prompts on the screen. You could text the word to the number on the screen right now if you made that decision to follow Jesus, and we will connect with you. Somebody's gonna call you, they'll pray with you, they'll love on you, they'll let you know that you're part of the family, because we're gonna build strong families and build strong futures, and they'll just let you know we love you. But even more than that, God loves you. So like we do every week, I always say this, Bible says when one comes back to the Father, there's a celebration in heaven, right, babe? So the angels are cheering. God is up on his feet. Jesus is applauding you, giving you a standing ovation. I know you can't see that, but we're going to help you hear it. So right now, come on, start hitting those hearts in the comments. Start hitting those claps. Come on, start screaming in your house. Let people think you're crazy. Let your neighbors think you're crazy. Come on, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Come on.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for our brothers and sisters.
Yes,
Lord. We celebrate you because you're awesome and you are a part of the family.
That's right.
Well, cool value number one, love. We're created out of love, by love, for love. We love God and we love others. That means we love you. Hey, love, before you bless them out, I know Stacy's going to come up and give them some information, but anything else they need to know before we get out of here?
Just continue to share this, guys. You know, this was such a powerful message for so many people out there, because we know that so many people just don't know love, and this is such a powerful thing. So please, if this blessed you, please share it with somebody. Love somebody by sharing with them, and definitely stay connected. Join us next week, and just be sure to stay connected with everything that is going on in the life of Cool Church.
I love it. Part 3 of For the Culture is coming up next week, and I promise you it's going to be amazing. We're going to unveil Cool Church new value number 2. So don't miss it.
Hey, do your homework, guys.
Do your homework. Why don't you bless the folks out before we go?
All right. Now, Father God, I thank you for this time that we had together, God. I pray that now my brothers and sisters who watch today understand truly what love is all about, but more importantly, that they understand who love is. God, you are love, Lord. I pray that today my brothers and sisters got to meet you in a more close and more intimate way, got to understand your character, and got closer to you, God. I pray that you bless them, continue to guide them, Lord, protect them, God, keep their family safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love you, family. Can't wait to see you again.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.